if mentioning a religious Irish immigrant who set up a football club that supported charity and reached the top of Scottish football, one name would jump to mind: Brother Walfred, Celtic's founder. However, there's another man who fits this description, and in fact did what he did before Walfred. On the 6th of August 1875, Father Edward Hannan led a group of men who founded Hibernian Football Club. The existence of Hibs was a major factor in Celtic's establishment. In the early years, relations between the clubs varied greatly, involving often positive links and then at other times acrimony and argument. This is the story of Hibernian's rise and the influence they had on Celtic. Hibernian's background is very similar to Celtic. The devastating effects of An Gorta Mór, more commonly referred to as the Irish Potato Famine, led to the death of at least 1 million Irish people, with the same number leaving Erin's shores. Many of those made the relatively short journey to Scotland, where they settled across the country. This was principally in the West Coast, given its proximity to Ireland, but also in East Coast locations such as Edinburgh and Dundee. In Scotland's capital city, the migrant Irish had the same experience as their compatriots elsewhere. They were concentrated in areas such as the Cowgate and suffered from problems like overcrowding, low pay, unemployment and anti-Irish discrimination. The Catholic Church played a major role in the lives of many Irish immigrants. As well as providing spiritual guidance, they often helped with more material needs, including food, education, housing and employment. Another aspect of this related to social lives. The church took steps to support the faithful, including arranging activities which would let Catholics mix together and take part in pastimes that would keep them away from the evils of drink, crime and violence. One such institution was the Catholic Young Men's Society. An Edinburgh branch of this organisation was opened by Father Edward Hannan, an Irish-born priest who was attached to St Patrick's Church in Edinburgh's Cowgate. Hannan was born in Limerick in 1836 and moved to Scotland in the 1860s. As the name suggested, the society supported young Catholic men. Those involved had to be practising Catholics as well as to not drink alcohol. For this, they were rewarded with the chance to participate in various sporting events. In 1873, the rise of football was evidenced by the formation of the Scottish Football Association, and by the following year, the first Scottish Cup final had been played. This presented an opportunity for the Edinburgh Irish, and now Father Hannan acted. On the 6th of August 1875, Hibernian Football Club were formed in St Mary's Street Halls. As well as the obvious sporting benefits this achieved, the club also helped raise funds which were used for multiple good causes. Hibernian's entire identity was based on its founder's Irish heritage. The name Hibernian derived from the Latin name for Ireland, and in addition, the club's badge was a harp, and its motto was Éireann go breá, meaning Ireland forever. There was an obvious Catholic dimension too. Players in the team had to be members of the Catholic Young Men's Society, and this meant therefore the club was open only to Catholics, and not those of other faiths. The new side received a mixed reception owing to their obvious Irishness. By 1876, they had joined the Edinburgh Football Association, and then afterwards the Scottish FA as well. However, there was sometimes criticisms in newspapers and on the pitch due to their national heritage. Hibernian needed somewhere to play, and in their early years, they moved around locations such as the Meadows, Mayfield Park and Powderhall. However, in 1880, they moved to a fixed venue which became known as Hibernian Park. Located in the Leith area, this was close to the modern-day Easter Road Stadium. The club soon rose in stature. In 1877, they first entered the Scottish Cup, reaching the fifth round, which included a victory over the side that would become their greatest rivals, Hearts. They also participated in the Edinburgh FA Cup, which they won for the first time in 1879, as well as playing numerous friendlies. The achievements of Hibernian were becoming widely known, and it was not simply the Irish of Edinburgh that celebrated and supported them. They became a symbol of Irish success that was cheered across Scotland, including in communities in Dundee, Lanarkshire and Glasgow. Indeed, the Hibbies had very strong links with Scotland's biggest city, especially the East End. On different occasions, they came west to play charity games, which were used to support local good causes, including those that helped and fed children. The pinnacle moment in the rise of Hibernian came in 1887. At this time, there was no Scottish League, and the Scottish Cup was considered to be far and away the country's most important contest. Hibs had had good runs in the Cup at different times, but this year was different as the Edinburgh men reached the final. On the 12th of February 1887, Hibs went to the south side of Glasgow, to the second Hampden Park. On this day, they faced Dumbarton, who were considered favourites to win the Scottish Cup. This proved to be a false belief, and Hibs claimed the trophy in a 2-1 victory. As a sign of how beloved Hibs were across Scotland, their first port of call after victory was not Edinburgh. Instead, the Irish went to Glasgow's East End, to a celebration event in St Mary's Halls in the Carlton. On the way, they were greeted by the local community. Such was the joy of this reception, it posed an obvious question to many of the Glasgow Irish. If aside from Edinburgh, that had a smaller Irish population, could achieve such success, why did Glasgow's community not have their own team? This could achieve the same as Hibs in promoting physical activity and raising money for charity. There was one particular East End cause that needed funds, the Poor Children's Dinner Table, or Penny Dinner Scheme. This was a charity that aimed to feed poor children and encourage school attendance, and was overseen by local head teacher, Brother Walfred. Like Hibernian's founder, Walfred was also Irish-born and had moved to Scotland. He corralled many notable Irish figures in Glasgow, notably John Glass, and on the 6th of November 1887, Celtic Football Club were established in a hall near St Mary's Church. Over the following months, Celtic's founding fathers worked to secure all of the requirements for a new team, players, strips, and also a ground on which to play. When it came time to open this venue, they turned to their East Coast inspiration. On the 8th of May 1888, the original Celtic Park was opened. The match didn't involve Celtic. Instead, Hibernian and North Glasgow side Cowlers played out a 0-0 draw, before the different clubs and officials retired to Glasgow's Royal Hotel for a celebration event. 3 weeks later, Celtic played at the ground for the first time with a 5-2 win over Rangers. That Celtic game perhaps sowed the maiden seeds of contention between Celtic and Hibs. Many of the boys' first ever team usually played for Hibernian, and over time they would come to stop doing this, choosing instead to represent the West Coast Irish side. The movement of players from Hibs to Celtic caused East Coast anger. Hibs and their supporters believed that Celtic had trampled on the hospitality and support they'd been shown by taking their best players. However, were these complaints justified? In reality, the answer's quite complex. It's clearly the case that Hibs did not anticipate losing players to Celtic, otherwise they may have been less than helpful than was the case. In fact, some Celtic committee men were also unhappy at the direction being taken by the Celts. Nevertheless, there are counterpoints. For one thing, in those days, professionalism, or the paying of players, was not yet officially allowed. Players were not formally tied to clubs in ways that would be the case once contracts were introduced, and this did not happen until 1893. Instead, players often moved around different clubs, especially given the dominant nature of friendlies in those days. Furthermore, it was not unknown for players to play for different clubs in different competitions in the same season, showing a more fluid nature of team links. In addition, whilst it could be argued that Celtic had taken players from Hibs, the same charge could also be levelled at the Edinburgh side. For instance, many of their top performers had come from clubs such as Lugar Boswell in Ayrshire, who received no compensation when these players left. Many of those players who moved to Celtic clearly did so with the encouragement of financial inducement. This broke the rules of the time, yet Hibs could hardly complain. There were various examples of the Hibbies doing the same, including as part of their 1887 Scottish Cup win. In fact, as a result of this, the club had come close to having their prize taken from them. The bitterness between Celtic and Hibs was very evident in October 1888. Celtic travelled to Edinburgh, going to Hibernian Park for a friendly, but the events on the day belied this title because the reception was anything but welcoming. Many of the Celtic team had formerly been at Hibs. they were greeted with chants of Judas and traitors. The home fans' mood was not enhanced by Celtic taking a 3-0 lead, after which large numbers of Hibs fans streamed onto the park and surrounded the Celts. Only after a period of danger did this come to an end, and the supporters were ushered from the field. It was not simply a lack of suitable players that afflicted Hibernian though. John McFadden, one of the driving forces behind the club, left Edinburgh. Losing his organisational skills was a problem, and it later transpired he'd also taken club funds with him when moving to the USA. Furthermore, the Hibbies soon lacked a ground as well. In an echo of what would later happen with Celtic, they were forced from their home and needed somewhere else to play. Things now looked grim for Hibs. They'd lost many of their best players, their main organiser had moved on and left them with financial problems, and they needed a new home. And then came an offer which could have transformed Scottish football. Celtic were riven with arguments in the club's early years. Many people involved in setting up the club came to believe the boys did not have enough of a charitable focus or a strong Irish Catholic identity. As such, they came up with a plan for a new team. Their first approach was to Edinburgh Hibernian. Their plan was to lure the East Coast men to move to Glasgow and have them set up as a rival Irish team. Their home ground was to be at Hibernian Park in Glasgow's south side, less than 2 miles from Celtic Park as the crow flies. Hibs chose to reject this approach and instead remained in Edinburgh. This was probably just as well. A new Glasgow Hibernian team were started, but lasted little more than a year, before collapsing amid financial complaints and legal cases. Whilst Edinburgh Hibernian had avoided this, it didn't solve the problems that they faced. And then they made a decision which would essentially seal their short-term fate. In early 1890, plans were agreed to set up a new Scottish league. The purpose of this was to provide more guaranteed income from games, rather than rely on ad hoc friendlies and cup games, where a team could exit early in the competition. However, Hibs declined to be part of this, meaning that Hearts were the only East Coast representative in the competition's first season. As it grew in popularity, it became clear that Hibs' refusal had been a significant mistake. The club stumbled on for a couple of years, but they couldn't recover from the various problems and mistakes that had befallen them. By 1891, it seemed Hibs were finished. Most symbolically, their founder, who by now was Canon Hannan, died in June. His funeral was a huge event, attended by ordinary people and the powerful alike. It was not simply Canon Hannan that died at this time. Hibs too went into a type of hibernation until such time as the club could regroup. The club's membership of the Scottish FA came to an end, and when the following season began, there were no Hibernian fixtures. By the following year, steps were being taken to revive Edinburgh's Irish side. A new committee was established, and they began to secure players for a team, and a ground too. This venue, close to their previous home, was located at Easter Road in Leith, and remains their home to this day. In Hibs folklore, this introduced another Celtic connection. Like Hibs, Celtic had been forced to find a new home. In March 1892, the second and current Celtic Park was being constructed, and the renowned Irish politician and club patron Michael Davitt laid a sod of Irish turf on the pitch. However, the night after this happened, someone broke into Celtic Park and dug up the turf. One story told by Hibs was that it was disgruntled members of the Edinburgh Irish who did this, before taking the grass to St Patrick's Church in the Cowgate, and later adding it to the Easter Road pitch. The truth of this will likely never be known. By 1893, Hibernian were back, in different circumstances. Although they retained their name and shirt colour, they no longer insisted on players being Catholic. In February, they opened their new ground. Celtic had been considered as possible opponents, but it ended up being Clyde that came. Later that year, they joined the newly formed Scottish Second Division. All of this does raise the question about whether this new Hibernian were the same team as before. Since Rangers' demise in 2012, the issue of clubs reforming and claiming to be the same team has been a matter of constant debate. The first Hibs never went bust, although they did disappear from view for a period. The answer to this is likely based on your own preferred choice of football top. Since Hibs' 1893 resurrection, they've enjoyed many famous moments. By 1895, they had reached Scotland's top league, a prize they've won on four occasions, the first time coming in 1903. And in 1948, they were the first side to win the league and receive a trophy for their efforts. They've also enjoyed Scottish Cup success too, including beating Celtic in the 1902 final. This is the only time that Celtic have played a Scottish Cup final at Celtic Park. Although Celtic are the Scottish club with the most famous Irish links, they are certainly not the only one. Dundee United, who were once Dundee Hibernian, also have this. And of course, so do Edinburgh Hibernian, a club that preceded both the Glasgow and Dundee Irishmen. There's little doubt that Hibs had a major bearing on Celtic's formation. Even without their influence, or 1887 Scottish Cup win, it was surely only a matter of time before a club representing Glasgow's Irish community would have been formed. But Hibs certainly helped to speed up the process. Whether or not that was a good thing for the Edinburgh men is a different issue, and one that can irk Easter Road fans even to this day. But from a Celtic fan's perspective, it's important to acknowledge the significance of Hibs' formation in 1875, including the role of Father Edward Hannan. When Hibernian and Celtic face one another, fans of the Edinburgh side often like to sing that they were the first to wear the green. And indeed, that's certainly true. It's just that they're not the best team to have this honour. If you want to learn more about Celtic history, follow Hail Hail History on Twitter X or Blue Sky. You can also take part in free Celtic walking tours. Visit celticwalkingtours.wordpress.com for more information.